Do you ever feel like something is holding you back? I think we're living in a time when a lot of us are feeling held back, like you're sort of in chains, either kept from doing something that you would like to do, or kept from going where you'd like to go, or kept from seeing someone that you would like to see. I think we all deal with those sorts of chains from time to time. We feel maybe tied down by burdens in our lives so that we just can't do the things that we would like to do. For some people, those chains are financial burdens, and you just can't live how you'd like to live because of your financial needs or limitations. For other people, there are social barriers that you feel like you can't get around or can't cross. For other people, there are physical limitations that maybe you just can't do what you wish you could do or you used to be able to do. Our whole nation has been held in chains these past several months, right, as we try to prevent the spread of a virus, and so we choose not to do certain things that we used to just take for granted, or we can't go places that we used to like to go, and we know it's maybe for our own good or for the sake of the community, but it's still like being held back. Our nation has also been struggling in recent weeks, again, with the chains of racism. And we're once again confronted with that reality that some people are, in fact, held back or denied equal opportunity simply because of the color of their skin. And those chains continue to be real for many people. Some of the chains that we experience in life are big and sort of forged by the culture around us, and we just have to deal with them. Other chains are more personal, and maybe they just affect your life. And maybe other people don't even know that you're feeling that way, but for you, you really do feel held back, or you feel that burden weighing down on you, and so you feel stuck and held by those chains. We're going to read a story today in Acts chapter 16. It's kind of a long story, but we'll read it in parts. But it's about how Jesus can help break the chains that hold us back or hold us captive. The story centers around Paul and Silas, and we've been talking about them the past couple weeks if you've been following along as we're working through Acts. Paul and Silas are missionaries. They left from Antioch, and they're traveling out west across southern Europe, and we read last week about how the Spirit sent them into Macedonia, which is northern Greece, and so they're there in Macedonia in a city known as Philippi, and we know Philippi because of Paul's letter to the Philippians. Well, this was his first journey into Philippi, and he was helping to plant a church there, and he had brought the good news, and people had come to know Jesus as their Savior, and he was having fruitful ministry there in Philippi, but we're going to see that there were some issues that he had to then deal with. And as we read this story, some of the chains that they encountered were literal, physical iron chains, and we'll get to that part as we go along. But then there are other chains that were spiritual, or social burdens or barriers that people had to deal with, chains that held people captive to the darkness of this world. So listen to how the story begins. This is Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 16. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. By the way, I mentioned this last week that Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, was traveling with Paul and Silas, and so that's why you see him saying, "We were going and we met." using that third person plural. And so Luke is there witnessing these things and then is able to describe them for us in the book of Acts in great detail. So this woman who they encountered was bound by several chains, right? You think about her life. First, she was a slave. That is, she was sort of owned or indentured to. She had to serve her owners, and it uses a plural word there. We don't know how many owners, but a group of people who owned her as a slave, and she had to work for them. And of course, anything that she did, they profited from, and we'll get into the sort of service that she gave them in just a minute. But then the second chains is that she was possessed by a demon. And so she was spiritually held captive by that demonic force. Now, the demon gave this woman a dark talent, and that is she could predict the future, or at least she could trick people into thinking that she could. We don't know. Maybe she actually could. Maybe demons have that ability. Scripture's not really clear on that, but one way or another, she made money for her slave owners by this dark magic trick of predicting the future. And instead of trying to help her, her owners made money through her fortune-telling. And so the demon who possessed her and her slave owners were in this sort of unholy alliance by which they both benefited. But the woman was held in chains, spiritually and emotionally, and in terms of her freedom in life, she was held captive. And so as Paul and Silas and the others in the group, Luke we know was there as well, as they were going about their ministry in Philippi, traveling from place to place, going, as it says here, to a place of prayer, meeting in homes as the church was growing in size, this woman began following behind them and sort of mocking them, sort of ridiculing them. Now what she said, interestingly, was not untrue. And yet it still was sort of annoying. Everywhere they went, this woman was following and telling people, sort of calling out, oh, look, here go the missionaries. They're telling people how to be saved and clearly not doing it in a genuine, heartfelt way, but mocking them. And Paul finally became annoyed by her words. Now, it's interesting. I don't think Paul was annoyed at the woman. No, Paul was annoyed at the demon who was possessing the woman and making her do things against her will. And so Paul, under the authority of Jesus, rebuked the evil spirit and ordered it to leave her. Just as Jesus could order demons out of people, there are lots of stories in the Gospels about that. The same power, that same authority belongs to Jesus' followers when we exercise that power in His name. Demons must obey at the name of Jesus. And so in this case, Paul says to the demon, leave this woman alone, and the demon immediately left her. So here's the first good news that we find today about the chains that we may experience or that we may see in people around us, that the name of Jesus can break the chains of spiritual bondage. The name of Jesus has that power. There's a lot of darkness in our world. Evil runs rampant in our culture. Sometimes in the form of demons. Now, we don't talk about that a lot today. Some people might think, oh, you're crazy to believe in demons. I believe demons are still just as real as they were back in Bible times. Now, that doesn't mean that every time we see something weird happen, we think, oh, that person's possessed by a demon, or a demon made me do it, or any of those things. But demons are real, and sometimes that is the sort of evil that we encounter. But we also see evil in our culture in the form of immorality. And not just people doing bad things, but the culture celebrating the bad things that people do. We see it in false teaching. We've talked about that a couple times recently. Even within the church, people saying and believing and then teaching things that are unbiblical and untrue and passing them off as though they were God's truth. We see evil in the form of violence and hate and racism. Evil wraps its chains around people's hearts and holds people captive, forcing them to serve that darkness, whatever that darkness might be. The name of Jesus, though, still has power over evil. When we pray in Jesus' name, we unleash the very same power that Paul used in the name of Jesus to free that woman from the demon that was holding her in chains. And so we pray for family members. We pray for friends. We pray for neighbors. We pray for those who are held captive to evil desires or spiritual darkness. We pray for those who are held in spiritual chains because we believe that Jesus can, in fact, set them free. Now, as you might imagine, the slave owners were not very happy with what Paul and Silas did when the demon was cast out of their profitable slave, right? So now we pick up the story in verse 19. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered that they be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Powerful miracle, right? Paul and Silas were locked up in now literal, real chains. They were arrested, they were beaten, they're locked in prison. Not that they had done anything wrong, mind you, but they were falsely accused. They were sent to this trial that wasn't really a trial. They were sentenced even though there was no formal judgment against them. And this should sound familiar to those of us who know the story of Jesus' crucifixion, right? False charges, a mock trial in the middle of the night, and okay, just crucify him. And so the same thing with Paul and Silas. They're just sentenced to be beaten and locked away in prison. They had freed this woman from demonic possession. That was the only so-called crime they had committed. And instead of celebrating the fact that they had released her from that spiritual bondage, the crowd turned against them and persecuted them because of their faith and because of their ministry in the name of Jesus. But here's the good news for us. The Spirit's power can break the chains of persecution. Now, I say that word persecution, and we need to be a little careful here with how we use that word. People in the church today talk about being persecuted, right? Here in America, Christians sometimes say, oh, we're being persecuted, especially evangelicals, those of us who believe in the Bible, believe that Jesus is the only Savior, that everyone in the world is invited to find new life, but that new life only comes through knowing Jesus. We are evangelicals in that we believe the good news. That's what that word means. And sometimes people in churches like ours will talk about, oh, we're being ridiculed by our culture. We're being publicly criticized by the cultural elites around us in our society, and that's sometimes true, right? The media is really quick to report any trouble in the church today. Anytime something goes wrong, a pastor falls into some sin, or a church has financial troubles, or these days, oh, a church dares to meet publicly and defy, you know, out in California, there are big churches that are meeting, even though the state is saying, no, you can't meet. Now, I don't think that's necessarily right for a big church to meet without people wearing masks and all that. But, again, churches then say, oh, we're being persecuted. People don't like Christians anymore. And, yeah, to some degree, that's true. The media is quick to paint churchgoers like us as ignorant and old-fashioned, and I guess sometimes we are. There is some persecution today. We are sometimes ridiculed for our faith. But Paul and Silas, they faced real persecution. They were dragged before the authorities. They were falsely accused. They were, without what we would call today due process, stripped and beaten and locked away like violent criminals. That is persecution. And yet, even for Paul and Silas and all that they experienced, the Holy Spirit does not abandon us, does not leave us locked in chains. The Spirit showed up in a powerful way to rescue Paul and Silas. There was this earthquake, and the prison doors flew open, and their chains all came loose, and suddenly they're set free, although we'll get to the next part of the story in just a moment. The Spirit still protects God's people and God's church. When we stand up for our faith, when we stand up for our right to share the message of Jesus Christ, when we are bold enough to share the good news with those in need, the Holy Spirit gives us strength and gives us courage. And when the culture around us tries to shut us up, the Spirit helps us to stand firm. And we trust in the Spirit's ability to give us that strength even today, even against the maybe mild persecution that we face in our culture. But we should remember here that Paul and Silas did suffer for their faith. They were falsely accused. They were beaten. They were imprisoned. They did, in fact, bear the marks of that persecution. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we in the church face criticism. Not that we're looking for it or asking for it, but if we come under attack for proclaiming the name of Jesus by those who reject Jesus, we shouldn't be surprised. In fact, Jesus told us that we would be persecuted. And again, we shouldn't celebrate it or seek it out, but we shouldn't be surprised. Paul and Silas certainly weren't surprised when they suffered for their testimony in the name of Jesus. When we do suffer, when we are criticized for our faith, we don't lose heart. We don't fight back in anger. And sadly, you see some of that in the church today. People trying to make a political point instead of sharing the gospel in love. But we wait for the Spirit's power to protect us, because that is where our strength and that is where our support comes from. There are more chains to be broken, and so we need to read a little more of the story. Now we're down in verse 27. So the earthquake and the prison doors fly open and their chains come loose. And then in verse 27, the jailer woke up. And when he saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, and then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. It's an extraordinary part of the story. Under the Roman system of justice, the jailer was personally responsible for the care and, of course, the security of his prisoners. And if they escaped, the jailer would have to suffer for their crimes. And so when he saw the prison doors open and he assumed everybody has escaped, he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul stopped him and said, "No, don't harm yourself. We're all still here." Somehow, not just Paul and Silas, but the other prisoners had all stayed. Maybe they were so happy to hear the hymns being sung and they just wanted to hear another verse. But they all stayed. And so Paul then shared the good news of Jesus with the jailer and with his family. And they, by the grace of God, were saved in that moment. They gave their hearts to the Lord. Not only did the jailer not have to pay for the crimes of his prisoners, who did not in fact escape, but he also learned that Jesus had died for his sins, and so his life was saved twice that night. And he and his whole household found new life in Jesus. And so we come now to the best good news in the world, that the message of salvation can break the chains of sin, and that is still true today. In fact, it's the good news that we celebrate here every single week. We have found new life in Jesus. The chains that held us, whether you've been following Jesus for a few years or for a few decades, those chains were broken when you came, like the jailer, when you came to know that Jesus is your Savior. You're no longer held in spiritual bondage, sentenced to die and be separated from God forever in hell. You have now been set free. Those chains have been broken. And so we rejoice in God's grace because we have been saved. And now we get to be like Paul and Silas. We get to share that good news with others. We get to go and find those who are still held captive in their sin and in their shame. Those who are lost in darkness. Those who think that their life is filled only with hopelessness in a spiritual sense, and we get to share with them that Jesus can set them free, that Jesus can break the chains that hold them. I know some of you have been praying for loved ones for many, many years, praying that they would finally come to know that Jesus is their Savior. And I hope this story is an encouragement to you, can kind of give you some hope, because this jailer and his family, as far as we know, they had never heard the name of Jesus in their entire life before that night. And here they hear the good news of Jesus from Paul and Silas in this extraordinarily unusual way, in this surprising time and place. He didn't go wander into a church. He didn't go find some preacher out on the street corner and stop and listen. No, God sent two believers right into his jail cell so that that jailer and his family could hear the good news. And then miraculously, the Holy Spirit causes this earthquake and the prison doors fly open, and miraculously the prisoners don't escape, all so the jailer and his family could hear the good news. And so the message for us is that the same thing, maybe not exactly the same, but the same sort of thing can happen for the people you're praying for. And it may not happen in the way you expect. That person you're praying for may not come to know Jesus the way you did. Maybe you were raised in the church and Sunday school and your mom and dad told you about Jesus, and for you that's the ordinary way to come to faith. Well, for this jailer, it happened in this extremely unusual way. But the Spirit can work in that way too. And so the people that you're praying for, don't give up on them. Keep praying that Jesus will break the chains in their life. Because that's what the power of the gospel does. It breaks the chains and sets people free. Now we need to finish the story because there's one more set of chains that we need to think about today. So verse 35, it says, when it was daylight, the magistrates, that is the legal authorities who had sentenced Paul and Silas to be beaten and jailed, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, release those men. The jailer told Paul, the magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace. But Paul said to the officers, they beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out. The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house. Now, Lydia had just become a follower of Jesus through their ministry. They went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. Then they left. I like that last line. We'll leave when we're ready to leave, after we go and pray with our brothers and sisters. Paul was bold and courageous. He had been falsely accused, sentenced, beaten, locked up in prison, and he wasn't going to allow that injustice to go unanswered. And so he insisted on being treated with respect by the legal authorities. He said, come, or let them come and escort us out. Let them come and treat us with dignity. And we need to hear this today, I think, especially. The word of truth, that is God's word, can break the chains of injustice. For Paul and Silas, the injustice was being mistreated without a trial. Not to mention the fact that they were Roman citizens, and under their system, they were entitled to kind of a special due process that non-citizens weren't entitled to. Now, that's Roman system. We don't need to get into that. But they were right. We're Roman citizens. You can't treat us this way. Not to mention the fact that we're human beings. You can't treat us this way. In our culture, injustice takes many forms, including, as we all know and see on the news day after day, week after week, racism. And we may not feel that as closely as other people might, but we know it is still a real form of injustice that people are treated differently because of how they look. And it shouldn't be that way. Injustice also takes the form, often in our society, of the unfair and demeaning treatment of women. And that is unjust. It also takes the form of abortion, of denying life and rights to unborn human beings. It also takes the form of attacks on traditional values and marriage and family and people who try to live the way that many of us live according to God's word is now being attacked, and that is unjust. We believe that all people should be treated with dignity and respect because all people have been created in God's image, regardless of their race, regardless of disability, regardless even of their religious background. They're still children of God, created in God's image. Justice, and this is, I think, the important thing for Christians to hear. Justice is not a matter only of laws and legal procedures. True justice springs from biblical values and from the morality that God lays out in His Word. Our response to injustice in the world might include, if you're so inclined, political protesting and going out on the streets and making your voice known or political agendas or how you vote. If that's how you want to seek justice in the world, great, as long as you do it responsibly and peacefully. But what the world desperately needs right now is the truth and wisdom of God's Word that teaches us and teaches everyone who's willing to listen how to treat one another in love. And if you think about how the world would be different if we all treated one another in love, then you can understand what the biblical understanding of justice is all about. Our God still breaks chains. The Holy Spirit still empowers the church to stand up for truth, and that's what we try to do. The message of Jesus still changes people's hearts. And God's Word still gives His people hope. So for the chains that you feel around your heart, or for the chains that burden our community and our world, let's pray that God's power will set us free. And let's also pray that the Holy Spirit will give us strength so that we can help others to find the good news of Jesus and to hear the Word of God, and so that the chains in their lives can also be broken in the name of Jesus. So let's pray together. Lord, we ask that You would give us strength and wisdom and courage to stand up for Your truth, because, Lord, Your truth is just as real and powerful today as it's ever been. Just as we believe Your Holy Spirit is still at work within us, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is still the hope of the world. And so, Lord, give us the courage to proclaim that good news and to love people in Your name. And Lord, when opposition comes against us, help us to trust in You, not to fight back, not to depend on our own strength, but help us to wait on Your Spirit to show up and give us the courage and the strength we need. And Lord, I pray for those who are feeling held and in chains today, whatever those burdens might be, whether they're spiritual or emotional or financial or physical, Lord, Your Spirit is still powerful. And I pray that that power would be unleashed in each of our lives, that You would set us free. Lord, we trust in the power of the name of Jesus. And we ask these things in His name. Amen.